Hey, it's great to be with you this morning to bring you the word. My name's Dean. Oh, thanks. Thanks. Hey, by the way, that breakfast with Pastor George is in Modbury and the kids program is in Modbury as well. I got to meet up with Pastor George a few weeks ago just to hear some of his story, and I was in awe just hearing what God did with him as a young man right through to coming to Adelaide, serving God here in Adelaide. So I'd recommend, why don't you have a chat, men, and organise some car or something, and head on down and, as I said, enjoy lots of bacon. And the kids program will be down there as well. So you can chat with Lisa and see if she's heading down. I don't know. I should know. She's my wife, but we don't talk about that often. Hey, we're going to gather around the Word. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, but I'm going to start at Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, you can open up. Otherwise, it will be up on the screen for you to look at. Hebrews chapter 12, but starting at Hebrews chapter 11. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today to gather around your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak through me into the hearts and minds of each person here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it's great to have my in-laws here. Lisa's mum and dad come down to visit, and they heard I was preaching, so they've travelled all the way over just to make sure that theology coming out is okay. So if you have any critique, any issues, just take it up with them and they will address it with me. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read a large chunk this morning, so we're going to go through this. I will skip a few things as we get to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Several weeks ago, Pastor Phil spoke about faith, and he taught us from Hebrews 11 that faith is now, it's present. Faith is substance, it's tangible, it's confidence, and faith is evidence. So I remember that. It's probably because I wrote it down. But I want to get through to chapter 12, so we're going to keep on reading. But this kind of came out of hearing that message from Pastor Phil back those few weeks ago. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. And then verse 4, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and then even Sarah. And then verse 13, and all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. There's so much in this passage, but we're going to keep on going. By faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Moses' parents, by faith, Moses, by faith, the people, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell, by faith, the prostitute Rahab. And verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies, women received back their dead, raised again to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, desolate, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered through the desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I love that. Just a note there, together with us. All those we just read about together with us will be made perfect. Chapter 12. Therefore, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know, I've completed a few runs over the years, short runs. I was going to talk about the park run, but then I'd be talking about beating Pastor Gary, and I thought if I've got nothing encouraging to say, I wouldn't mention it. But your time's improving, I'm seeing you. I've got to have to get back in and do it. But I've done the City to Bay here in Adelaide, which I think makes me a legit South Australian. I did say the other week I've had a frog cake. Yeah, so I've done that. I've now South Australian, stamped and approved. I've done the City to Surf in Sydney, done a half marathon, and they're pretty intense. They're pretty intense. And when you do the City to Bay, you get there real early. It's early, it's cool, so you're dressed up. You got your tracksuit on. And then when it's getting ready to run, you're all lining up and everyone's around and you're just about to go, but you don't run in tracksuits and stuff. You take those things off and so you just see everything comes off with the jumpers and obviously you're wearing your running gear. But the tracksuit pants and just wanted to clarify that, Pastor Phil, the jumpers, and they just get thrown on the side. And I've been told some of the people like the salvos would have come along and pick those up, so I trust that takes place. But we then just take those things off so we can run freely, and then we're off and we're running. And down the Anzac Highway, keeping pace, I was able to watch my watch my pace, and there was times there and going, I need to walk. I need to slow down, but nah, keep going. I've just got a picture of the finish line. Getting closer, getting there. Then you come around the corner and I can see the finish line. I can see the end. The end's in sight. Then this extra energy kicks in and I'm there, I'm going, ready to run. I give so much more to that last couple of hundred meters as I'm ready to cross that line. I had one goal in doing that 12-kilometer City to the Bay, and that was to crack the 1 hour. I looked at my watch. I was getting close. I put down the speed. Everything left in me. I could see the finish line. I charged for it. I crossed it. I stopped my watch. I looked at my watch. 59:51. I was pretty stoked. I ran the race that was marked out for me, as with the other thousands that day. Hebrews 11 is known as the great faith chapter, the roll call of the heroes of faith. Hebrews considered a message of exhortation, a sermon of encouragement to believers in the first century and to us today. It addresses second century believers who had endured hardship for the sake of the gospel. David DeSilva writes this about the purpose of Hebrews: God's favor and benefits are worth the cost of keeping the faith. That's why it's written, so we would know the favors of God. It's worth it. It's worth it. In encouraging believers, he brings out several points of faith in referring to Jesus through this whole book. Jesus is the hero in Hebrews. It all points back to Jesus. And just as Hebrews was written to the first century believers, I believe it's written to us today. And I want to draw out several points from this passage in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. First, therefore. Therefore, it begins with therefore. Now, by the way, there's no chapters when the author wrote this. It was just one big letter or sermon. But when the therefore is there, I got taught this. When you see therefore, you need to ask what the therefore is there for. The therefore is making sure we point back to the previous chapter, the bit that we read through, back to those heroes of faith. So when we're reading this, we need to keep in mind those people we read, both the heroes who lived well and the ones who that we said that were persecuted. They're all in this story of the heroes of faith. This is why it says therefore, to connect back to these examples in the Old Testament and those that we read of. One little extra point I want to bring out before we get into the points in the passage is that the word faith in our 21st century Western mindset, I don't think helps us understand the biblical understanding of that word. And I prefer to translate it as faithfulness. So when I see the word faith, I actually put in the word faithfulness. Because faith in the biblical context is not just a head knowledge, it's a way of life. It's how I live this. And the word faithfulness captures that for me. So I'm not changing the Bible. I'm not changing the original language. I'm just using a word that helps me in my English better understand what the biblical word is all about. And so when we read it, perhaps we should be reading in Hebrews chapter 11 there. Now, faithfulness is confidence in what we hope for and an assurance of what we do not see. By faithfulness, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. By faithfulness, Abel. By faithfulness, Enoch, and so on. And then we get to verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faithfulness. I want to draw out several points from this passage. First, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We are not alone. The truth is out there. Who are these witnesses? The great cloud of witnesses. In fact, if we were to read this more accurately to the text, it would be, therefore, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of martyrs. That's how the text reads in the Greek. This word martyr is associated with what we have the word testimony, witness, martyr. And it's not just someone who sits on the side and watches something, not just a spectator. One commentary says this description certainly means something more than spectator. These are the heroes of faith who have themselves been witnessed to through faith by God. They are not simply onlookers, they are fellow pilgrims who have run the same course to which this generation of believers is committed. These are the cloud of witnesses, not just bystanders on the side. They actually people who have run the race. They know what it's like. They have done it. And we've just read about several of them through chapter 11. They've been persecuted. Some have been healed. Some have suffered. If you're suffering, if you've been persecuted, well, you're in good company. This is the cloud of witnesses. While there's many in scriptures that we have referred to and many more, there are others who have gone through in the past. One of my heroes is John Huss. He was accused of heresy in the church. And in 1415, when he was burnt alive, he sung this while being burnt alive, "Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me." His eyes were fixed on Jesus while he was being killed. I could tell the story of Leonard Dobler or David Nishkman. You know, the first Moravian missionaries in 1732, that when they went out, they said this, they were willing to work as slaves among the slaves for the sake of the gospel. They had a vision to say, you know what, I'm willing to sell myself if I can win these people. They were laying their life down. We could speak of Brother Jung. We could speak of others. We could talk of John Watsford, Smith Wigglesworth, Pastor Norm Armstrong, Old Roberts, Andrew Evans, Uncle Russell, and heroes here today, our pastors. And it's great to have Pastor Barry and Vanessa Chan here, some heroes that I look up to, my parents-in-law and others. Many of your stories I look to and they encourage me. We are part of the cloud of witnesses as we remember each other's story and encourage one another. Pastor Stuart and Heather McElroy, who left everything in Adelaide here to go out to the far, far west, to Sejuna, to take Jesus out there. These men and women have run the race. They are witnesses. They have not given up. And they have not experienced the promise yet. They've run through times of suffering, but they still run. I run as if I will be healed. I don't stop. I don't stop and say, I'll wait till I'm healed. I keep running. I keep moving forward. I run expecting to receive. And if I don't, I know God has something better for me. God has something better for you. The cloud of witnesses stands as examples of men and women that we can look to, that we can see their life, how they've lived, and be encouraged right here, right now, where we are as we follow the way of Jesus. First, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Two, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw off. Throw off is used in terms of taking off the qualities as though they were clothing. The things that would cause us to slow down. As I mentioned in the city debate, just before we would start running, I would take off the long pants, the tracksuit pants, the jumper, just so I was free to run as good as I could run. We need to get those things that will hold us back. Throw them off. Get rid of them. We know what they are. We need to get them out of our lives so that we can continue to run, so we continue to pursue after God, follow that race. You know, Paul uses the same word in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you must also rid yourselves, throw off those things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Throw these things off. We need to throw them off daily. Get rid of them. You know, when we throw these things off, we don't just throw them off on Sunday. We throw them off Sunday to Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, Paul continues when talking to the Colossians here, do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. We throw off because we have something new to put on. He has given us something new. If you're in Jesus, you're a new creation. You have something new to put on. You know, you've got to take off the old. I can't come and put my stinky old dirty clothes. This morning I went for a bike ride. And if I left my bike ride clothes on this morning, no one would want to be around me. I've got to take off those stinky clothes after a bike ride and then clean up and put on my new clothes. And that's what we need to do. You know, unfortunately, the church is accused of this. Too many people are wearing our old clothes underneath. We put in our Sunday clothes over the top, and it's awkward, but we do our Sunday thing. Then we go to Monday through to Friday, Saturday, and we're living life just like everyone else outside the church. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Throw off. Get rid of those things. We don't need them in our life. The things that will hinder us, the things that will slow us down, distract us, entangle us. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Number three, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Run with perseverance. Why are we throwing off? So we can run the race. It's a race. Paul uses the imagery of a race several times in his letters. He talks about running the race, a marathon. It's a long race. And they run the race marked out. The race has been marked out. When you start a race, you don't just run in any direction. If I was to start that City to Bay and to start to head out to Modbury, I wouldn't be running the race to City to Bay. I might get good time. I mean, I wouldn't, but just say I did. It wouldn't count. I've got to run the race marked out. The race has been marked out for us. We don't set the race. And secondly, we don't set the conditions. You know, when I do get up at times to go for a bike ride or a run, a park run, you know, sometimes it's very inviting. You know, the weather's great. Great spring day, the sun's out there shining and it's kind of fresh. It's just a nice day to run. when it's just fresh like that and you get out there and running. The only issue is, although it does give you a bit of extra energy, is when you're running past the lake there and then all the swarm of insects are right there and you just swallow a few. My speed goes up a little bit then. Just got this extra protein boost. But some days, particularly right now, it's cloudy. It's miserable. And the fire looks so much more inviting. I would rather just stay there in my bed or at home and not get out. We don't set the conditions, but we're called to run the race. Run the race. Rain, hail, shine. We continue to run that race marked out for us. We persevere. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. I want to encourage you to church. First thing is we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Two, we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sins that easily entangles. Three, run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And last, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. In running the race, we need to look ahead. In the City of the Bay, when I saw the finish line, I could see where I was going, and that just gave me an extra boost of energy. I go, you know what? I can do this. There it is. I'm on my way. I remember learning to ride a motorbike. I was a latecomer to getting on a motorbike as a mature person, and I was having those lessons, and I got in there. I got told this, look where you want to go. And the first thing on the bike was just say, okay, we're just going to roll. And you go, mate, I'm a grown man. Don't tell me to roll a motorbike. But it's a good thing I did. Because as I got on, I'm looking down the wheel. And next thing I go, I'm heading for the gutter in the bush. And I'm remembering, look where you want to go. So I looked up and then looked where I want to go and then just naturally just started to go off where I wanted to go by looking in the direction where I wanted to go. I need to keep my eyes ahead. We look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. He is our goal, our future. When John Huss was being burnt alive, he looked to Jesus. Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know, 2011, we were expecting the birth of our third child. 2 weeks before Bella was born, she was diagnosed with a congenital heart disorder. I fasted for 2 weeks, praying for a supernatural miracle. Well, I didn't get a supernatural miracle, but God still did a miracle through the hands of doctors. When she was born, they told us she was going to need open heart surgery. And then on the 5th of May, 2011, 5 days old, we had to watch her go off to surgery. And I took a picture. And I shared it, and then all I could say was this. It's time to say, see you again when you come out. Jesus is with you. Our hope was Jesus. I could trust the doctors because I had hope in Jesus. She was in good hands because I knew Jesus was with her and guiding the doctor's hands. That was all we could do. All we could do through that time was to look to Jesus. And I'm so thankful, you know, it's now been 12 years and no issues and she's growing strong. Many of you see her around. But that was the start of our journey, knowing what's going to happen here. It was such a miracle, some of you may have heard, such a miracle. They even diagnosed it. We were going to be born in a small country town, I guess, hospital. And if she had been born there, they didn't have the equipment to handle that condition. And so the fact that it's just a miracle after miracle that the expert who diagnosed these things happened to be just in the checkup room that day. She wasn't meant to be on, and picked up this disorder and said, we need to transfer you to Westmead Children's Hospital for the delivery. Just all these things. God was looking after us. Our hope was in Jesus. He's our assurance. He's our confidence, our peace. She was in the best hands because we knew Jesus was with her. He had placed the doctors around her to look after her. He is our pioneer, our source, the source of our salvation, Hebrews 5:9. He's the forerunner in Hebrews 6:20. He's our pioneer and perfecter, completer. You know, in verse 2 continues, chapter Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he completed, scorning its shame, and sat down now at the right hand of on the throne of God. He completed, he went through, he endured everything, pioneer and perfecter. He stayed the course. He stayed the course of the cross for you and I. For you and I. He is our prime example. Perfecter. The perfect one who makes us perfect. In chapter 10, he highlights there that the one who is the perfecter of our faith makes us perfect through the Holy Spirit. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the pioneer and perfecter of faithfulness. He is supreme. He is all-powerful. He is the great and mighty one. We look to Jesus. Now, Gordon Fee, another biblical scholar, writes this in regards to our Hebrews. Faithful perseverance in light of the final word God has spoken in Christ. The faithful word, the final word God has spoken in Christ. We persevere by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He is the final word. Hebrews is all about Jesus. Right from the beginning, right through, it's all about the supremacy of Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 4. So he, Jesus, became such superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Jesus is superior. If we fix our eyes on him who is superior, we can do nothing else but persevere when we run the race. I'm not going to declare to you that he's got a great promotion for your job, but rather the path he has marked out for you is one of being faithful to God no matter what we do. No matter what we do. No matter what. No matter where. No matter when. No matter who. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faithfulness. Be encouraged, friends. Many have gone before us and many are among us. We are not alone. We are not alone. There are those who have suffered and know our suffering. There are those who have experienced great things in which God has done, yet they still haven't received the final gift, the final promise. We continue to run the race. As we run, you have everything you need. You have everything you need to run the race. First and foremost, have Jesus. Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter. And secondly, we have an example of the faithful. Those from the Bible, those of the past, and among us that we can look to encourage us in our faith, in our journey. We get to do this together. Whatever is hindering you, I want you to know this. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. The same Jesus that the cloud of witnesses look to is the same Jesus we look to today. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. You can run this race. You can finish this course. Look to Jesus. Maybe there's someone here who hasn't declared publicly that I want to look to Jesus. That is, invite Jesus into their heart to say, listen, I want to declare Jesus as Lord of my life. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. I kind of think it's just three simple things, and while it's not necessarily steps to do, but I go, well, you got to believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came down to earth, walked on earth, died on a cross, rose again, is now seated next to the Father. Believe in Jesus. And when you believe in Jesus, you need to repent. That just means turn around. You were going your own way, but now you say, no, I believe in Jesus. I'm now going to look to Jesus. I repent for my own life and I turn to look to Jesus and follow him for the rest of my life. And in doing so, you're saying, Jesus, you are going to be my Lord, my leader. I choose to follow you. Right now, I'm just going to ask if eyes are closed, heads bowed. If you haven't publicly made a decision that you want to follow Jesus and look to Jesus this morning, right now, while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I'd love to pray with you. If there's anyone here, I want to invite you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. Right now, as I'm looking across, if anyone in this room says, Dean, I haven't declared publicly I want to follow Jesus, or perhaps you did many years ago, and you know you've taken your eyes off and you're no longer walking that path, right now I want to invite you, just give us a wave. Anyone here right now, just give us a wave and I can pray with you this morning. As we finish this morning, I don't know where everyone's at, but I just felt those two types of people just to acknowledge and pray for. First, you might be feeling alone. You're running a race and you're all alone. No one knows what I'm going through. I want to tell you, you're not alone. First and foremost, Jesus is with you. And there's a cloud of witnesses. There is a cloud of witnesses who have gone before. You are not alone. I want to encourage you this morning, you are not alone. We are also with you. We are with you as Revival City Church, Mount Barker. And secondly, as the musos begin to worship, perhaps you're feeling overwhelmed. The race is just starting to get you down and you're getting distracted and you're just not sure what's going on, and perhaps Jesus is becoming blurred in your vision. Yeah, you still are faithful to Jesus, but there's just the distractions are coming in, and perhaps you just need to refocus this morning. As the musicians lead us in this last song, I'm going to invite us to stand soon, and if you just know that you just need to refocus, I want to invite you, why don't you come at the front and let us pray with you. And make that a step of faith, that as you step out and come down the front, that you're saying, this is an act of faith and faithfulness where you're going to realign your vision to look back to Jesus through whatever you're facing, whether it's work-related, whether it's personal, illness, relational, whatever that may be. You just need Jesus to refocus into that situation. I want to encourage you this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for those that have gone before us. I thank you that you've marked out a race for us that we can run in looking to you, that we can look to you, Jesus, that you are always there and we can trust and have hope because you are the pioneer and perfecter. And we just look to you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.